There are a lot of common misconceptions about people who have the giving and receiving gifts love language. First of all, this is not the love language of a gold digger. Okay, y'all know what I mean when I say a gold digger? Gold diggers tend to be real excited about the gifts that you give them because of the gift that you give them, not because of the thought behind the gift that you give them. They're all about the material value of that gift. It's not likely that a gold digger has this gift. However, another misconception is that a lot of times people will think that, hey, my children have the love language of receiving gifts. They feel loved when I give them gifts. Am I just buying my kids love? Well, no, that's not it at all. Because it's just simply the way that they're wired. They do indeed feel more loved when you give them something. However, you need to understand that gift doesn't have to be real valuable. I'll talk about that in a minute as well. And the third thing is, giving gifts is not about you as the giver. It's not about your comfort. It's not about what best benefits you. And I'm telling you, I can speak from experience here, and I'm going to share a story, and you're going to agree that I can speak from with experience. Right after Dawn and I first got married, her birthday was coming up, so I was really excited about buying her this gift. And I thought about it and thought about it, and I was dreaming about this gift. What could be the absolute best gift for my new wife? So I continued to think about it, and I scoured the internet, which is pretty, there wasn't a whole lot. I think I could reach the end of the internet back then, by the way, to give my age away. But I was looking all over the internet to find this perfect gift, and I think I had found it. You know, we lived in Central Ohio, so there was tons of different events coming in and out around Columbus. So I was like, well, I'm going to get her tickets. So I went on to Ticketmaster, and I looked at their website, and I continually kept checking back. I'm going to get the best tickets I can possibly get to this event. So eventually I find the perfect tickets, and I buy them. They come in the mail. I wrap them up. And on her birthday, I give them to her. And I'm telling you, I was like a kid at Christmas. I could not wait for her to open this gift. Best gift ever. And I'm like, just sitting there, like freaking out. Can't wait for her to open them up. Now, mind you, her birthday is December 28th, so I was still in the Christmas spirit anyway. So it was like overload. But I was totally like so joked and jacked about her getting this gift. She opens them up and boom, there they are. Ohio State Buckeye basketball tickets. Five rows off the court. It was a glorious night. I told you I could speak from experience. And for our first wedding anniversary, I gave her a skillet. I've grown a lot in these last 16 years, let me just say. But I thought it was a great gift, and she played along so well. But here's what happened. Over the past 3 or 4 years, this gift has come up time and time again. So I think it became very obvious to me that, okay, look, that wasn't the right gift for her. I totally enjoyed myself. So it didn't work. But here's the thing. If receiving gifts was Dawn's primary love language, which it's not, thankfully, if it were, that could have been extremely damaging to her. And it could have really hurt our relationship. Because the thought put into that gift was not about her. It was all about how can I get 5 rows from the Buckeye floor and call it my wife's birthday present. I accomplished it, but it continually comes back to bite me. So anyway, today I can speak from experience on these things, and I do have, however, that's the 3 ways that gifts are not about you and other things, but I do have a video that I think you'll like that will really help you to recognize
exactly you want to see my coin collection?
What gifting gifts can do for someone's heart.
I collect coins. I got a dandy collection.
I don't want to see it, Owen.
But it's my collection.
I don't care. Look, Owen, I'm just not in the mood, okay?
Never showed it to anyone before. Oh, Rhino, look at it.
No, it's okay.
Show me the collection.
No, you don't mean it.
Show me coins.
All right. This one is a nickel. This one also is a nickel. And here's a quarter. And another quarter. And a penny. See? Nickel, nickel, quarter, quarter, penny.
Are any of these coins worth anything?
No. And here is another nickel.
Why do you have them?
What do you mean?
Well, the purpose of a coin collection is that the coins are worth something, Owen.
Oh, but they are. This one here, I got in change when my dad took me to see Peter, Paul, and Mary. And this one, I got in change when I bought a hot dog at the circus. My daddy let me keep the change. He always let me keep the change. This one is my favorite. This is Martin and Lewis at the Hollywood Palladium. Look at that. See the way it shines on a little eagle? I love my dad a lot.
So this whole collection is...
Change my daddy let me keep.
What was his name?
Ned. He used to call me his little Ned. That's why Mama named me Owen. I really miss him.
That's a real nice collection, Owen.
Thank you.
So if you have the love language of receiving gifts, that video spoke to you. You're the ones in the crowd that went, "Oh," when he talked about his dad giving him those coins. You're the ones that have a nice box full of all your old birthday cards tucked away safely under your bed or in your closet. You're probably the ones that have every flower you've ever received pressed between the pages of a book, or every love letter that's ever been written to you. If that's the case, then this message is precisely about the love language that you receive love in. So today I want to give you a quick disclaimer. Because we're talking about love, I plan to spend a lot of time talking about my family. This sermon was never intended to be about me or my family, but I'm talking about love, right? So I want to share some real life experiences that might make you laugh, like giving my wife a skillet for her anniversary, first one. And I think I got a motorcycle that year, actually. Cut that. But I'm gonna use some real world stuff, some stuff that really does pertain to me and my family, and hopefully you'll find it real, you'll find it exciting, entertaining, whatever you want to find it, but hopefully it'll help. So I'm gonna start with this. Best gift ever, right here. You see what it says on the front? My hero. My hero. You know, I could put this book on eBay and it wouldn't bring a dime, I'm sure. Although there's a cute little girl on it. But I don't know that it would bring a dime. If you were to find this in your garage, you'd probably just toss it into your recycling bin. But for me, this book means everything. It's incredibly valuable. You see, my daughter Alexis made this for me when she was like first or second grade. And it's dedicated to her hero, and I would try to read it all to you, but there's absolutely no way I would get through all of it. I'd be like right here in a pile, just weeping. But my hero is someone who loves me, you see? How cute, right? So cute. So cute. And then there's some other stuff in here that if you come to my house, I'll let you read it, but I won't let you read it. I won't read it to you now because it's too funny. But my hero is someone who is playful. See, I'm throwing a ball back and forth with her. But all through this book, you see the question marks on the front. I had no idea who her hero was in the beginning of all this. So I get to the very end, and it says, My hero is my dad. How sweet, right? Bald head and all. She's a great artist. But this book doesn't mean anything to you guys. There's no value in that. But for some of you, you know exactly what I'm talking about when I talk about these gifts and what it means when you get them. You know, Alexis really hit a bunch of love languages in there. She hit the love language of words of affirmation. There's a page in there that talks about her hero is her protector, and I'm looking under the bed and there's no monsters under there. I mean, words of affirmation. It's an act of service. She took her time to make that, and then it was a gift. So she really hit it hard. But I want you to know real quick, the definition of gifts is a visible, tangible show of love. It's a visible, tangible show of love. It could be a symbol of love, for instance. I know many of you have been to a wedding. Many of you are already married. Many of you are wearing a ring right now on your finger. And what that ring represents, if you remember during your wedding ceremony, the pastor there would say something like, these rings symbolize an outward expression of an inward emotion. It's a symbol of love. And if you don't think that's the case, take yours off and set it aside for a few days and see how your spouse feels. They're absolutely a symbol of love. Absolutely a symbol of love. And, you know, if your love language is gifts, or you receive love by giving gifts, when your spouse takes that ring off, it will crush you. It's like they're throwing part of you away. Visible, tangible symbol of love. Now, I went through the scriptures, and there is a lot of stuff about gifts in the scriptures, but a lot of it is talking about giving gifts to God. And I did find one time where, of course, they're giving gifts to God, but I think it's in a more tangible way. So I'm going to revert to Matthew chapter 2, verse 11. And as you're opening up your YouVersions or your paper Bibles, if you still carry those, as you're opening that up, you might recognize this is out of the Christmas story. And these scriptures are ones where we would read this and go, oh yeah, we should give each other gifts at Christmas. But let me read you this one. In Matthew 2:11, it says, on coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother, Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now, when I was trying to prepare for the message, I felt like this was a stretch to use this scripture for this sermon. And my wife confirmed that might be a stretch. But in the end, I think we both realized this was the perfect scripture to represent today. Because, you see, the wise men gave three gifts: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. You know, gold represents royalty. It's incredibly valuable, especially back in that, well, I don't know if especially back then, but, you know, gold, it's valuable. We don't have any idea if these were rings, if this was like gold bars, if it was gold nuggets. We don't really know. Scripture doesn't tell us. It just tells us that these guys bring the baby gifts of gold. Royalty. And we know that they were searching out the baby born to be king of the Jews. Royalty. So the second thing they brought was frankincense. Frankincense is interesting. It's an incense, and really was extremely valuable, but it only really had one real purpose at that time. The Jewish folks would burn the incense of frankincense as worship. It represented their prayers going up to God. They were worshiping God with this incense. Well, it's interesting that the wise men would bring Jesus, who is indeed divine, frankincense. And then they bring in myrrh. Once again, a fragrant, a perfume. The thing about myrrh, in its most common use as a perfume, was they would put it on the outside of the wraps of people who had recently died to keep the smell away. Well, it would almost appear as if they had given this myrrh to represent that Jesus was indeed born to die. And 2,000 plus years later, we know that that is indeed the case. So the thing about this scripture that I think is really, really important is that it shows these gifts that the wise men gave, they were very well thought out. They were not a skillet. They were well thought out gifts. They knew Jesus, and they had never even met him, but they knew him. Well thought out gifts. That's the primary thing that I want you to remember this morning. Well thought out gifts. You know, the gifts, it doesn't really matter. For somebody who receives love through giving or through receiving gifts, it doesn't matter how big that gift is. It doesn't matter how valuable that gift is. It doesn't matter how much it costs. It doesn't matter what color it is. It doesn't matter if you made it, you found it, or you bought it. To them, it's all about the thought that you put into it. It's all about the thought you put into it. Here's an example of a really fun gift. Alexis's birthday this past year, she packs her lunch. She has diabetes, and she packs her lunch every day so she knows exactly what she's going to be eating. And she packs her lunch this night, and in the morning, or maybe even later on that night, I'm not exactly sure when, Dawn goes in, takes Alexis's entire lunch, and wraps every item in zebra print wrapping paper. Alexis had no idea. So she gets to school, and she's taking her lunch out, and boom, there's a zebra print wrapped sandwich. There's a zebra print wrapped apple and yogurt and a water bottle. And oh my goodness, there's a zebra print wrapped fork, plastic fork. We had no earthly idea what this meant to Alexis, none at all. Until just recently when we walked into her bedroom. Walking through her room, she has a memory mat on her wall where she just kind of hangs things that are important. And what's hanging there? A zebra print wrapped fork. And I did have to ask her exactly how she ate her yogurt that morning, by the way. Like, how did you pull that off? But we had no idea that that would mean that much to her. It was just kind of this fun thing to do. But what we recognize is that obviously is something she's going to remember forever. So have fun with it too. The Secret Sisters table, here's another great example. The ladies here who participate in Secret Sisters, which happens, you know, a couple times a year, you can get involved in and stick with it. But they come in, and I've seen some of you ladies come in to the building, and it is like mad dash to that table to see if anybody has left you a gift. And if that's you, like if you can't wait to get to that table, you might have the receiving gifts love language. But here's the other thing that I see, and I love this. I'll see kids like running past their parents to get to that table to see if mom has a gift. And then they'll pick up that gift sometimes and take it to their moms. Or they'll continually nag their mom the rest of the morning, like, don't forget your gift. If that's the case, your kids may have that gift or the love language of gifts. I don't know if it's a gift or not, but it's the love language of gifts. And by the way, ladies, if you are participating currently in the Secret Sisters, there is a Secret Sisters dinner, banquet, final reveal. You'll get to see who's been giving you all those great gifts all month and a couple of months today at 1 o'clock. So if you've been a part of it, stick around and be a part of that. Figure out who's been leaving you all those really cool goodies. And I think there's like a rule, no more than $5. So it's not like they're coming in here to get diamond rings, you know? They're running in here to get things that they recognize somebody has really put some thought into. Secret Sisters do get this right. They have a form that you fill out when you first get started. And on that form, it asks all kinds of cool questions like, what's your name? Then it asks like, what's your favorite color? What's your favorite candy? What color is your kitchen? What color is your living room? Seriously? Like, guys, there's no secret guys society around here. And if there was, we'd never ask you what color is your living room. But the girls get it right. Because when you come in here and you get that gift and it matches your kitchen perfectly, you know that somebody took the time to read over your profile and buy you a gift that you would love. They took the time to do that. The number of gifts will not make people feel more loved if they have this love language. I have never watched one of these movies, but I hear they're out there where it's like a chick flick, I think they call them, where you'll, like, a guy will show up, he'll do something really silly, and then, like, all of a sudden the lady will show up at her house and the whole rooms are full of flowers. Everybody seen those movies before? I've never seen one of those movies before. But I hear they're out there. So you have these movies. What I want you to know is the fact that there's all of those flowers, the fact that there's all of those gifts, that doesn't necessarily make someone feel more loved. As a matter of fact, if it does make them feel more loved, I would say they don't have the gift of receiving gifts. The love language of receiving gifts. However, there was this one time. Alexis was 9 months old. She was Dawn and my first child. She was the first grandchild on either side. She was the first girl in like forever. So let's just say that Christmas got a little bit crazy. She's 9 months old. We have this fairly decent sized room, about 20 feet wide by 15 feet long. And I'm telling you, you could not see the floor in this room. There was so much stuff. And Alexis, she did this cutest little thing. When she got really, really, really excited about something, she would just sit on the floor and do it. And some of your kids do this. She would just go, like, just totally sensory overload. Like, I'm 9 months old, I can't grab it. You know, it's like she's crazy. And that hasn't really changed. If you've played dodgeball with her, you know that that has not changed a bit. She's super intense. I'm told that dodgeball nights, they warn the new students, watch out for the high school boys and Brownie. That's the way it is. So, but anyway, I don't think that she felt any more loved because she had this super big room full of things. As a matter of fact, after that, we had this conversation, Dawn and I, because we were trying to figure out where in the world we were going to put all of this stuff in our house. So we have this conversation, and we go, you know what? Something has to change. Something has to change here. So what we did was we implemented a three-gift rule. Hey, Jesus received three gifts. Why should our kids get a whole house full of stuff, you know? But with those three gifts, we set some very specific parameters. One of those gifts would be a gift that I went out, spent my time and energy figuring out what Alexis would like or what Elijah would like. And Dawn would do the same thing. And then we would buy one gift for them together. Dawn and I would buy one gift for Elijah together and one gift for Alexis together. So we had three gifts. Worked out perfectly. I think that they recognize that we put thought into the gifts. I think it means a little bit more. Plus, we don't have to worry about where to put all that stuff at the end of it. My mom has, however, the gift. Mom, I love you. I know you're going to listen to this online. My mom has the gift of giving. She has the love language of giving gifts. And it's crazy because this was hard for her. So now we'll show up and there'll be this big box, you know, that has like 10 different things wrapped in it, but all wrapped in one box. So it's like, it's one gift. Seriously, Mom? But hey, you know, she loves my kids. That's all I can say. The sheer number of gifts is not going to make your kids or spouse or friends or whomever you're buying for feel more loved if they have this love language. Another thing that we see from time to time, typically we would see this in a divorced family, typically, where one of the parents will buy an extremely large number of gifts for a child. Doesn't always happen in the divorced families, but typically you'll find it there. And what you see a lot of times is they're buying all of these gifts to try to compensate for the lack of one of these other love languages. Maybe they're buying all of these gifts because they don't have time to spend with their child. Maybe they're buying all these gifts because they don't have the ability to say, I love you. Or have some physical touch, wrestling time with their kids, things like that. But I will caution you against doing that, especially if your kid has a receiving gifts love language. The caution is this. Your kids are not dumb. Your spouse is not dumb. If you're buying these gifts like that, they're going to figure that out. And what's going to happen is in the long term, they're going to get a really twisted view of what love is supposed to look like. So I caution you against just showering people with gifts. I'll caution you against that. Another thing that's another way to to use the gift, the love language of gifts, is your presence, being there during really big times in life. For instance, the birth of a child. Men, your wife wants you there when she has your baby, if you can be there. If there's a death in the family, it's important that you're there to be a part of the mourning process. I have a good friend of mine who I talk about. I think I've brought him up in every single message I've ever done here at Essential Church, so I'll bring it up again. My friend Nathan back in Ohio, he's a gentleman who invited me to come to church to play some softball and then kind of helped guide me through my life for a little while. And there was never a question in my mind that Nate loved me. Never. This guy was a great guy, great friend. And there was this one time, Dawn and I were getting married, one time. And while we were at our, Nathan was a groomsman in our wedding. And while we were at the rehearsal, we just happened to have our wedding on the day of a, well, the weekend of a huge softball tournament. So the reception, or I'm sorry, the rehearsal dinner is taking place. We do the rehearsal, and it's kind of like, where's Nate? He left. He took off. Right after the rehearsal, we took off. The next day, the wedding day, he shows up like in the nick of time. And the wedding is over. We all sit down and have our toasts. Where's Nate? And he left again. I never had a question whether Nathan loved me. But I had a question at that moment, like, does he really love me? Like, are we really that tight? Like, are we really boys? You know? So the gift of your presence is huge. Pastor Steve's going to teach on quality time next week. This is not the same as quality time. This is from time to time, during big moments in life. It's important that you do everything you can to be there with your spouse, with your friends. And you might not even have to say anything. You guys know these moments. You've done it where you show up and things are in shambles and all you do is sit there and you don't say a word, but they know that you love you, that they know that you love them because you're there. That's it. That's what I'm talking about. So a practical application for this. I want you to, not right now, but I want you to think about the people in your life who receive love by receiving gifts. You may or may not know who they are right now, but I want you to really think about them. And throughout the year, I want you to take time down, take time to write down different things that they might say. They may say something like, oh, I don't know. My wife doesn't have the love language of gifts, so I don't know what you would say if you do. Somebody, what would you say during the year if you wanted something? What might you say you would want? Okay, so they need a pedicure. If your wife is bringing up things about how bad her toenails look, write that down. It might be a great gift, the pedicure. And it might keep you from using that little egg thing that they sell on infomercials. Just saying. I want nothing to do with that. The petty egg, is that what it's called? I've never seen the infomercial for that, ever. Promise. But write things down. Take the time. Thoughtful gifts. Thoughtful gifts are huge. Even if it's a thoughtful gift on your walk home with the dog and you pick a flower out of your neighbor's yard and ask for forgiveness later. You know? It's okay. I'm telling you. So here's the challenge for this week. Well, I wanted to share this little story. There was a story that Gary Chapman, he wrote all of these five love languages books, and I know Pastor Steve's talked about it, and I didn't realize how much this guy gravy trained this book until I started to look into it, and he has it for the kids and for the married people and for the small groups and for, you know, singles and don't want to be single anymore. And I mean, like every category you can imagine, he has a love language book for. But in the one for singles, he shares this story. He's talking about this guy overhearing one of his coworkers talking about how much her son is into baseball cards. And so he kind of takes note of that. And he asks her, he says, so can you get me a list of the baseball cards that your son would really, really like to have? And so she does, and she gives him this list, and he finds himself away at a business trip. And while he's away on this business trip, notices that there's a baseball card shop right around the corner from his hotel. This must have been from the 90s, because those don't really seem to exist anymore. In the 90s, there was a baseball card shop on every road. They were like churches, but not anymore. So he goes into this baseball card shop, and within 5 minutes, he has a couple of the cards that are on this kid's list. So he takes them back. He gives them to his friend, his coworker. She takes them home to her kid. It's like he gave him $1 million. So simple. So thoughtful. And can totally change a kid's life, totally change your marriage, totally change your interaction with your kids. But I will caution you this, and please hear these words. The only time it is appropriate to buy a gift for the opposite sex that is not in your family is never. I'm just warning you. If you buy a gift for someone of the opposite sex that's not in your family, and you didn't buy one for your wife, or even if you did, there still could be trouble. So in the way of male and female etiquette, the appropriate time to do that is never. You heard it here. Public service announcement. Never. Even if it's a skillet. I love my wife, but she brings that thing up all the time. And it's good. It's a good reminder. It's good. Let other married folks learn from that mistake. I know this stuff isn't always easy, guys. I know it's not always easy to figure out how the people that you love receive love. My son is like a puzzle. It's very obvious how he shows love. He shows love through physical touch. He will give you a tap on the back. He'll shake your hand. He'll give you a hug. And if he really loves you, he'll give you an incredible back rub. I'm telling you, it's unbelievable. But how he receives love is was sort of a mystery, really. I assumed that because he showed love through physical touch, that he would indeed receive love through physical touch. And that's not his primary. So like all those hugs I've been giving him, I mean, they're good, but it doesn't really fill him up. So what we had him do was he and Alexis and Dawn and I all took the five love languages quiz. And I posted that on our Facebook. So if you're interested and you're not a friend of Essential Church yet on our Facebook, you should become a friend of us on Facebook and you should take the quiz. Because I think it will be very helpful to you. So we had him take the quiz. And it's been really, really eye-opening. I took the quiz, and I was shocked by what my gifting or my love languages were. Because I thought because the way I felt about this gift that Alexis gave me, that gifts was my primary love language. I was totally wrong. I have other people in my life who give me gifts, and I get so ecstatic about it, I was certain that was it. Didn't work out that way. So go in, take the quiz. It's worth your time. I promise you that. So we're getting ready to move towards communion, and I want you to know the English word gifts, it comes from the Greek word charis, and I probably didn't enunciate that properly, but that's the word it comes from. But that word charis in the Greek, it means grace or undeserved gift. So when you're giving these gifts, do them at random times. Hallmark has done a great job of giving you many, like one day a month you can give a gift. But do it at random times. And you know, a gift is never, it cannot be considered a gift if it's a payment for something that's been done. It's not a gift. It's a payment. So keep that in mind as well. But do you realize that the most obvious gift to talk about today is the gift that God gave us. When God the Father sent down His Son to die for us. That's the most obvious gift we can talk about. It was tangible. It was visible. And oh my goodness, what a show of love. that Jesus would come to this earth, spend 33 years walking among people, simply to die for all of us. You know, Jesus says that there's no greater gift than to lay down your life for a friend. And then he did it. So today, when you get ready to take communion, we do this every single week. And when you get ready to do it today, if this feels like a ritual to you, then I'm going to ask you to stay in your seat. Because it's so much more than that. It's another one of those gifts that God gave us. It's tangible. You can touch it. The bread that represents his body, and we tear off just a piece of that bread, and we dip it in that cup, the juice that represents his blood. You know that bread is never ever the same once it's touched that juice. It doesn't look the same, doesn't taste the same, doesn't feel the same. It's not the same. Just the same as each of us, once we've allowed Jesus to live in us, should never be the same again. You can never be the same once he's taken over. So today, my prayer is that this is more than any ritual you've ever done, but that this is real, it's authentic, it's an act of worship. Just remember what he did. The gift, the undeserved gift, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Let's pray together.